All right, I'm sitting here with a guy that, in a lot of minds, is a hero, quite honestly. He doesn't like to think of himself that way. Steve Baker, he is a Blaze journalist. He's been an independent journalist, and a lot of the stuff that you know about J6, the stuff that's been debunked, a lot of the false narratives that are out there, you know those things because of Steve Baker. They've run him through the ringer now. He questioned the narrative. He went after him. The emperor has no clothes. He was the kid on the street yelling that towards the DOJ. And, well, the rest, we'll see what's going to happen. But tell me a little bit about what happened to you this week. What's the process? What was the charge? What did they ask you to do, and what did you have to go through?
Well, I mean, I'm one of those people that was at January 6th that went through either the wrong door or the wrong window at the wrong time. And so one of the charges that I have on me is entering a restricted space without permission, basically the glorified trespassing charge. Mm-hmm. And then there's three more misdemeanor charges that are complete and total 100% nonsense. The number two and number three basically has to do with loud and abusive language. Never happened. The fourth charge is that picketing and parading charge we hear everything about. Didn't happen. And we have the videos. That's the one thing that's really great about being at the Blaze now. We've been able to acquire all those videos through my work at the Capitol in the CCTV viewing room. So we've been able to harvest a day in the life of me, and the DOJ doesn't know that that's coming. We're going to prosecute this in the court of public opinion before they ever think about taking me to trial.
And so misdemeanors, and these are the charges, they're misdemeanors, and 3 years go by. Like I said, he exposed the DOJ. He's not a guy who's going to push their narrative. He's going to question the narrative. And they say, okay, now you got to appear in federal court. And you did that this week. Humiliating thing. Yeah. You know, I said on Newsmax just the other day, I said every journalist out there should aspire to be Steve. Because what he did objectively, and that's the thing about journalism, you're supposed to have journalistic objectivity, report it as it is, reveal the facts. You came at it without opinion. You came at it, I mean, obviously you believe in why those people were protesting. Yeah. I think you're on record as saying that. I don't want to speak for you in that regard. But then they're gonna parade you out there. I mean, this was nothing more than a photo op, was it?
No, I'm on the record, and this is what they're going to try and convict me of in front of a DC jury or in front of a judge, is the fact that I had an opinion and voiced it before I went on the Capitol property. I had an opinion and voiced it after I left the Capitol property, but they don't have anything on me while I was on the property. Mm. And that's it. So if whatever I voiced beforehand, that's not a crime. Whatever I voiced afterwards is not a crime. But they're going to try and create a state of mind that the reason I was there was to participate, as the charging documents say, with the mob. Mm-hmm. Well, it wasn't a mob that I went over there with. These were people that were leaving the ellipse and marching over, and we had no idea what was going to happen and transpire at the Capitol, because those 300 or 400 ne'er-do-wells that kick-started this whole... Mm-hmm. You know what? They were already there. Mm-hmm. They had breached the barricades, multiple barricades, before I ever arrived. 300 or 400 of people had already went inside the Capitol before I ever went inside the Capitol myself. I went through an open door because I saw a line of people going through an open door, not because I thought I was breaching something.
Yeah, and you're a journalist who is going to go in and ask questions and see what's going on and report on this.
And I was one of 60 journalists that came in from the outside to follow the story where the story was going. Some of those had credentials, but did you know that you can't, as a journalist, cross a police barricade line or a restricted zone without actual expressed permission from law enforcement? It doesn't matter if it's New York Times, Washington Post, or a congressional press badge. Unless you were invited to be in there, you can't cross that restricted zone.
Is that always been the rule, or is that one they've just decided to enforce?
No, that's state, local, federal. That's just the long-standing knowledge that all journalists have, that when you see the police tape line, you don't get to, just because you have a press pass, get to cross over that. Now, law enforcement have forever allowed the press to come behind the line, stay behind the line, to capture images, photography, that sort of thing, for the public interest. And then when the law enforcement officers say, okay, it's time for you to leave, they have to leave. If they don't comply, they get arrested. And that's just the way it works. On this particular day, it was a cluster, you know what. And so things didn't work exactly the way they normally work. There weren't actual law enforcement officers standing there that day checking press passes and saying, yes, you can come inside. People were just going inside as the cops were standing off to the side because they had, you know, they had quote unquote de-escalated and decided to allow it to happen. And so myself and 60 others wandered through those doors. But the only ones that have been charged, prosecuted so far, have been those of us, six or eight of us, that who have, you know, not towed the narrative line.
Yeah. You wrote an article just this past week for TheBlaze.com where you talked about Kamala Harris. I mean, she was basically claiming she was at the Capitol. She wasn't. She was at the DNC, right? I mean, so she completely misled the public about her presence there and how this was such a tragic day. And I'm, you know, using those words. Why is that significant?
It's significant because we can't get the real answer or the real questions answered. And the questions are this: why did the government, including her administration, her staff, herself, hide the fact that she was at the DNC where the pipe bomb was found for a solid year? It was Politico, and actually a journalist I'm familiar with and acquainted with from Politico, Kyle Cheney, who reported on the fact that she was actually at the DNC and not at the Capitol. Now, why was she supposed to be at the Capitol? Well, first of all, she was the VP-elect. Second of all, she was still a voting senator. And third, Pence had already gaveled in the session of the joint session of Congress at 1 o'clock that day. The pipe bomb was not discovered till 1:05, at which time she was evacuated a few minutes later. So that's the first question. Why was she there? Why did it take a solid year for us to learn that? And then, Chad, why 2 more years later, 3 years after the fact, Kamala Harris, a politician, left, right, doesn't matter. We know how they all are.
Sure.
How come she's never taken advantage of this? She's never one single time said that her life was in danger. She was 15 feet, her motorcade was 15 feet from a potentially deadly weapon that the FBI continues to say was a viable device. It wasn't. And continues to say that it could have brought great harm and even death to anybody near that pipe bomb if it exploded. And for 3 years, a politician has not taken advantage of that for fundraising or anything else. And she's never mentioned it one time. Next and final question on that story is, and most significant, why has the DC press never asked her that question? Why have they never said, how come you've never talked about this? How come you've never mentioned that you were there? How come you've never exploited your experience in a dangerous situation? That's what's normal. Yep. Nobody in any press conference has ever asked her that question. Nobody in any ever sit-down interview has ever asked her that question. I'm never going to get that sit-down interview with her, but I would answer. That would be the first question I would ask. Why haven't they asked that? You and I both know why. It's because they've been told not to.
Yeah, and speaking of exploiting, you know, they did exactly what we predicted. They put you in the shackles. They put you in the ankle chains, the whole thing. They marched you in there. I heard you on Glenn Beck on his program saying they put you in a cage with a meth dealer, yep. Right? They exploited the images that they want. What's next? When do you go back? What are your predictions? What do you think? Is there any way to know?
Not yet. We've got a Zoom hearing in 2 weeks. I don't have to go to D.C. for my next hearing. It's basically just a repeat of what we did here in Dallas on Friday, without the leg chains, thank goodness. But the whole thing will be repeated before a D.C. magistrate at that point. At some point in the next 2 weeks to 30 days, we'll learn who my judge is. And that's where the strategy begins, because depending upon whether we get a hanging judge or we get a sensible judge, we'll determine how hard we want to charge this.
Okay. Steve Baker, follow him on X. Keep up with him, all the stuff he's doing. He's a valuable asset to truth, to our way of living and the rule of law. So thank you for doing that. And more importantly, pray for the man. Pray for the man. And God bless you, brother. Thank you. Welcome to another episode of the Chad Pray the Show. We are down and dirty. I am here in the mothership. I'm in the studios, Mission Studios. These are the brains behind everything that we're doing these days. And I was on the road and I said, you know what? We're going to pop in here and we're going to talk. So here I am in this little studio. I popped in here on a beautiful, sunny day here in North Texas. And I'm excited to be with you guys. I want to remind you to take a look at our sponsors. Check out United Patriot Coin, which is also United Patriot Supply. Just add a little .com to the end of that. We'll talk more about that in a minute. Our friends over at Patriot Mobile. I was with them last night. Glenn and the crew over there, phenomenal friends, and just a phenomenal. It's amazing to me over the last several years watching Patriot Mobile, how they have grown as a mobile company and just have kept their values. I mean, they believe in your right to free speech. They believe in the Second Amendment. They believe in our first responders and our military heroes. And just the way that they have grown the technology and the way that they're building that company is there's no reason for you to be with one of the big three cell phone carriers anymore. There's just no reason whatsoever. You need to be supporting those guys. And of course, our friends at My Patriot Supply, preparewithchad.com. I love those guys and they do a phenomenal job partnering with us as well. We'll talk more about that in a little bit, but I want to talk to you today about some of the crazy stuff that's going on. First of all, in the headlines, now this is a couple of days old by the time you're watching this, but the Supreme Court has now come out and said that no, Colorado cannot keep Donald Trump off of the ballot. You know, if you remember, the Supreme Court in Colorado came out, they said that Trump was disqualified from being president. Now that's a loose interpretation of the 14th Amendment. Trump was never accused of. He's never been prosecuted. He has never been certainly convicted. There's never been any accusation whatsoever of insurrection in any of these law cases against Donald Trump. You and I know we're seeing it firsthand. This is the thing I called out a couple of years ago. As you know, I say on this show quite often, I am always right. When I talked about judicial tyranny, when I talked about lawfare, we're seeing that come to full fruition at this point in time in the United States of America. They're using the courts against a former president of the United States and a current Republican candidate who is going to get the nomination. This airs, I think Super Tuesday's already happened. And let me just predict the future. Trump's the guy. Trump is the guy. And they hate it. You're going to see a meltdown of epic proportions. But they're doing everything they can to try to push this insurrection deal. It doesn't exist. It didn't happen. That is a fallacy made up by the left to. I don't have to convince you of this stuff. I can go through the bullet points. I don't need to. But I want to talk to you a little bit. Reason that matters, the Supreme Court overturning that and making sure that Trump is back on the ballot in Colorado. I want you to think about what the Supreme Court looks like in the next 4 to 8 years if a continuation of the Biden administration, whether that's actually Joe Biden or not, but if a Democrat is installed as president again in November of 2024, let's say it's Michelle Obama, let's say it's Gavin Newsom, God forbid, we don't need that guy. He is a protege of Xi Jinping, and that is trouble to the exponential power. Gavin Newsom is trouble. He is a full-blown communist. Now, if those guys, if one of those people continues or is installed as president and this administration continues for the next 4 to 8 years, the Supreme Court of the United States can look completely different. And rather than having people who are believing in the rule of law, and it's a close margin right now in the Supreme Court as it stands, but rather than having people that believe in the rule of law and who interpret the Constitution objectively and fairly and rule on these matters, you're going to have people who are instead judicial activists. They're going to come in with subjectivity rather than objectivity. They're not going to follow the letter of the law. They're going to bring their preconceived notions in, and their ideas and their minds are already going to be made up. We're in trouble. I mean, you see this with the indictments that are happening with Donald Trump across the country. Now, some of it is backfiring. You see what's happening with Fannie Willis there in Georgia. That gal's going to lose. She's going to lose her law license. She's going to lose her ability to practice. I'm just saying it depends on the judge, because, you know, one of the recent judges basically gave her a strong rebuke. But this is a deeper issue with Fannie Willis. And so I would just say, by and large, that you don't want to go after a former president of the United States when you've got that many skeletons in your closet. And that kind of stuff's being exposed. But what's going to happen when we have a Supreme Court or we have a judicial system that doesn't judge things fairly, that doesn't look at that and say, hey, you know, these people, they broke the law. They did these things that were wrong, and now we're going to call them out. You're going to have reality being created in an illusion in our country, just listen, we already are dealing with people who think that men can be women and vice versa. We, you know, that pornography can be shown to children, that children should be able to make the decision to cut their genitals off, take puberty blockers. This is an illusion world. It's a fantasy world that they're living in. What if they start interpreting the law that way? We're close to that, folks. We're getting very, very close to that. So in another 4 to 8 years of a leftist progressive squad pushed administration, the Supreme Court is going to change completely. They've already talked about packing the courts. They won't have to pack the courts. If you get another 4 to 8 years of a progressive president who can put nominees up there, we're in a lot of trouble. We're in a lot of trouble. So thank God for this current ruling, and we'll see where it goes from there, because they're not done. The left is dead, hell bent, dead set on making sure that Donald Trump is not the next president of the United States. And folks, you better buckle up, because it is about to be a wild, wild ride. Now, in other news, you know, it's funny, all the things that we talked about years ago, we're starting to see some things come to pass. Now, I got in a lot of trouble with the lefties on Twitter last Sunday because I said, and I was pretty specific on this thing, because, you know, the CDC has now come out and said that you can treat COVID like the flu. Now, on X or Twitter or whatever you want to call it, I made the comment in my typical pot-stirring kind of way. I said, if I can get down there to it, said 4 years, countless ruined lives, lost businesses, damaged relationships, poisoned bodies. It's the flu. We told you it's the flu, but you needed a crisis. You needed death tickers on your screen. What you actually needed was some effing common sense. All right. People came at me. Obviously, they did everything they can to call me a moron, an idiot. And, you know, most of the time I would agree with them 100%. That's a fair assessment of me. But they were saying it's not the flu. I understand it's not the flu, but they want you to treat it like the flu. So in essence, it's basically like the flu. We told you then it was a virus with a 99.8% survivability rate unless you had other accompanying or pre-existing conditions, right? The mortality rate was directly related to what was physically wrong with a human being that contracted COVID. Now, I'm not saying COVID wasn't serious. I'm not saying that COVID was fake. I'm not saying that it was false. It's a very real deal. Now, there are those who come out and say it's because of the blah, blah. Those of you who watch the show, you know about the Fauci ouchie. You know what we call it. We call it the blah, blah around here because we don't need any more strikes on YouTube. So we don't use the V word. Sometimes we do when I get fired up. But today, for our purposes, we'll go back to the blah, blah. You know, people want to say it's because of that, because it lessened, you know, and the various mutations of it and the new strains of it and all that, it just weakened over time. You know, sort of like when influenza was new to humanity, a lot of people, and then we figured out ways to cope with it and deal with it, gave a, you know, they got the flu vaccine, and now it's just not that big of a deal. You get sick with it. Nah, flu is a big deal. It kills a lot of people. And the effects of COVID exacerbated a lot of pre-existing conditions, too. But let's also talk about the fact that there was a lot of whack science out there. There were treatments that were banned. There were people who wanted to give you all these ideas that, you know, whether they were putting you on a ventilator in the hospital. I mean, how many times that didn't work? That didn't go well. It was almost like the kiss of when people were trying to get treatment. And then how many doctors, medical doctors that well-meaning who did their research and saw a way to effectively treat certain patients as individuals rather than some corporate, you know, mass, lost their license to practice medicine. How many people lost their jobs over something with a 99.8% survivability rate? Now, I'm not saying that COVID did not affect you or your family tragically or adversely. We were all affected by that. But I'll tell you, whereas COVID affected people's lives, so did destroying an economy. So did destroying businesses. So did people losing their jobs. The military. I mean, how many people who refused to go out and get a medical procedure that they mass produced for every person on the planet, which is stupid logic. There's no common sense in that. You know, if I take a blood pressure medicine and you take a blood pressure medicine, there's a 90% chance we're probably taking a different dosage and a different type of blood pressure medicine. You know why? Because we're individuals. But they didn't treat us that way when it comes to the treatment of COVID. And so now how many people in the military or how many different folks in corporate America lost their jobs? Are they going to reinstate those people? Are they going to be brought back? Because they said, oh, you can, the CDC has now said you treat it like the flu. Now, my argument would be, you're going to say, well, I want to see the scientific evidence behind that. There's no evidence in the world that I could present to you if your mind is made up that's going to change your narrative because you have pushed that agenda for so long and you're blind to it. And it doesn't matter what we present to you. But I would just say common sense tells me that there's enough of us out there who refused those medical treatments. We refused to go out there and be scientific guinea pigs. We didn't want to get tested on and, you know, without the risk factors that are out, you know, we didn't want to do all that stuff. Maybe, just maybe, we built up some herd immunity. And, you know, we've built up an immune system. And there you go. I mean, the fact that you say, well, it's because they all got the blah, blah. Well, the blah, blah didn't stop the transmission of it. It didn't stop you from getting it. It didn't make you not contagious. The only thing that we could arguably say is that it made you less likely to be hospitalized in a critical situation. Arguably. But what are the side effects that are going to come with that? You say, well, there's no side effects. Well, Anthony Fauci literally just came out on the news program this weekend and said, he said that particularly in young men, there is a chance of developing myocarditis because of this medical procedure.
Again, we have experience with this type of in billions of people. It's a safe. Of course, with the mRNA, there's a very, very, very low risk, particularly in young men, of getting a myocarditis. But if you look at the risk of myocarditis from COVID itself is greater than the risk of the.
Okay.
And so from my own personal standpoint, yeah, I would say that make it available for everyone.
He literally said that, his phrase, and I quote for you fact checkers, particularly in young men, there is a small chance. You say, well, he said there's a small chance, but he said there's a chance. Okay. You're telling me there's a chance. He admitted that blah, blah has the potential to create myocarditis in young men. That guy should be prosecuted. That guy is a serial killer for pushing that. Those of you out there who say, well, you said it was the flu. No, I said it's to be treated like the flu. So therefore it's the flu. It's the flu. It's of the same serious consequence that the flu gets. And I'm telling you, sometimes you get the flu, you feel like you're dying. Maybe that happens with COVID, but the CDC, they've announced a drastically weakened infection control guidance. It started on March 1st for people with COVID-19. So instead of at least 5 days of isolation and testing to judge when it's safe to stop isolating, the CDC now focuses on fever and other symptoms. So you were supposed to take a test. If you tested positive, then 48 hours later, you're supposed to test again. And even if you tested negative, I think there was like a 5-day deal. You had to quarantine and stay away from everybody. And now they're just saying, hey, if you've gone 48 hours without a fever, you're feeling better, you can get out around people. 48. So here's the deal. Evidence on COVID-19 transmission is clear. A substantial proportion of people transmit COVID-19 beyond 5 days of infection. For this reason, the CDC has previously recommended using 2 negative rapid tests 48 hours apart to exit isolation. Further, because much transmission of COVID, unlike flu, is asymptomatic, the new recommendation to base decisions about isolation only on fever and other symptoms are frankly unscientific. What does that mean? What it means is they've done no scientific studies to change this guideline. They haven't been in the lab looking at this thing or analyzing this. They haven't run a hypothesis. They haven't used any scientific method to change this. They've just said, okay, it's not as bad as we always said it was, so we're just going to change the guidelines. I mean, that is arbitrary. There's no new science behind it. There's no new studies. There's no new analysis of existing data. The CDC, and this is from masslive.com, the CDC is plainly ignoring solid medical evidence. The agency's current trajectory away from public health and in favor of a so-called return to normal is not new. The CDC, since long before Biden came to office, has been bowing to corporate powers on public health matters. That's a fact. Hey, I want to talk to you about my friends over at United Patriot Supply. You've heard me talk about United Patriot Coin. Same people, same values, same great company. And I love those guys at United Patriot Supply because I'm one of those guys that looks for those hard-to-find items. I like to make sure that the stuff that I need for my future and my security is all in the place when I want to go grab it and need it. And United Patriot Supply has one of the largest selections of firearms, ammunitions, and accessories that's available online. Yeah, you can shop online. Their inventory's got those hard-to-find guns and ammo. If those other shops out there, they don't have it, there's a very good chance United Patriot Supply either has it or they can get it for you. So right now, they've got a silver incentive program. You buy a firearm, you get free silver with your order. You get a free ounce of silver for every $500 that is spent, up to five free ounces. So that's, you know, firearm purchases of $2,500 or more. That's a pretty good deal, especially if you are like me and you like to make sure you got a little silver in the safe. So that offer is combined with the promotion between United Patriot Supply and United Patriot. Go check them out. You'll see what it's all about. You find them at UnitedPatriotSupply.com. Yep, it's a long one. Type it out. UnitedPatriotSupply.com. Check them out. And here's the thing. You say, well, where's the science? Where's the studies? We want to see all of this stuff. Do you not understand at this point in time that the people who put the money out there for the grants on these academic levels who were doing the studies, they want to make sure that the results of those studies come back along the lines of what they believe, because that's what they want to be able to push. I told you on the audio only podcast just this last week, and I know JD's over there in the corner, you're going crazy because we're going to get this medical misinformation strike again. So I'll let you determine later on if this thing ever even sees the light of day. But I'm just going to tell you, I mean, we're going on the basis of what is written. These are the reports of the CDC. We have the report from that came out and says that while the blah, blah was being administered, that they were administering it to children, they were doing two studies to see what the effect of it was going to be on them. Did it cause any myocarditis or any other side effects? They were testing children 5 to 8 and 9 to 12. Secretly, they were testing to see the effects, the negative adverse effects of this on children while they were administering it. You would think that they would already know what the adverse effects would be. And why are they doing it in secret? Because these people want to make sure that the results and the outcome are what they find favorable. So you want scientific studies on all these different things. Well, you're going to have to look at people who are giving the grants. Who are the people who are putting the money behind all of this thing? They want to make sure that the results are favorable to their worldview. So here we are, folks. You can melt down all you want. I'm not telling you not to take precaution. I'm not telling you it's fake. I'm not telling you there's, you know, but I'm just saying they shut the world down. Guys, they absolutely shut the world down for almost 4 years. You couldn't see grandma. She had to die alone in the nursing home. You know, you had to hug your loved ones through plastic. Children were in schools behind plexiglass. Kids' learning declined because they were on Zoom calls instead of in the actual depression increased, suicide increased. Where's the ticker for that? Where's the ticker on CNN and Fox News? We don't have any of that. And I know there are those of you out there who say, well, Trump was complicit in all of that stuff. Listen, I am on record many, many times of saying Trump absolutely did the wrong thing when it came to those protocols. He promoted Fauci. He elevated Fauci. He gave Fauci the voice of an expert, and that should have never happened. If you look at Fauci's track record through the 70s and 80s, what he did, which was basically genocidal with the AIDS pandemic in Africa, he should be held accountable for that. He should have never been elevated. Burks and Fauci both, they should have never been elevated to that point. Yes, I agree. Trump allowed the nation to be locked down. Trump listened to the, quote, science at the time, made the decision that he made. I wish he hadn't, and I think he needs to come out and apologize for that. But of course, we know Trump will never do that. Okay, well, that's come and gone. That's done. You say, well, I mean, so what are you going to do? You got two options come November. Are you going to hold? You're going to you know, kick Trump out and accept Biden or whoever his, you know, surrogate is, whoever his replacement is, and you're going to risk having a Supreme Court for the next 4 to 8 years is going to be packed with liberal progressive, you know, squad members, in essence? Or are you going to say, okay, Trump made a mistake, it's time to move on? We got to move on, because I can tell you what's going to happen when the new big thing comes along, the new big crisis with a Supreme Court in place like that, with an administration like that in the White House. It's not going to be good, folks. So, yes, I'm on record. Trump made a mistake. Trump screwed up. He should be, you know, he should be held accountable likewise for that whole deal. But it's what we got. That's the reality we're living in, folks. So anyway, I need to move away from all of that things. I need to move away from that, JD. I apologize, dude. I get fired up about these things, man. You know, I'm trying to be a good boy. I'm trying. But, you know, they just keep coming out with this stuff and everybody's losing their freaking mind. So I don't know if you guys saw this view from or this clip from The View where Whoopi Goldberg, she came out the other day and said that Joe Biden needs to throw every Republican in jail. Now, that's not the first time that she said that. She's made that comment in recent weeks over and over again.
Well, the Supreme Court won't hear oral arguments until the end of April. Now, I just, you know, just let's look at a scenario where the Supreme Court says, yes, he has that. He has all those rights. He is immune from everything. Yeah. You know what Joe Biden could do since he is presently president?
What?
Whoa. He could throw every Republican in jail.
Yeah.
I mean, he could.
So what I'm trying to encourage people to do is if you'll just listen to what the leftists are saying, if you listen to what the progressives, what's coming out of their mouth, what they're accusing you of is usually what they're doing. So, you know, Whoopi, who looks like Mr. T and the Predator got together, had a baby, and the baby grew up to be a fascist. What she's saying is the quiet parts out loud. At this point, throw every Republican in jail. Now, that's exactly what everybody on the left has been saying is going to happen if Donald Trump is elected president again. He's going to start throwing his political enemies in jail. Listen, Trump's the guy with 91 indictments. He's the guy they want to put in jail for the next 700 years. And they're going to say that that's what he's wanting to do. She's literally coming out and saying, throw every Republican in jail. Even her co-hosts were shocked on that whole deal. So, you know, I don't know who listens to or watches The View, but for those of you who might, I want to remind you guys that Joe Biden was not placed in as the king of the United States. He doesn't have 100% sovereignty, and you can't just throw people in prison no matter what. And by the way, we don't live in a banana republic where, at least at this stage in the game, you have the ability to just throw your political opponents in jail. I'm sorry that you don't like the opinions that are out there, but Whoopi, that's just quite simply the way it goes. So anyway, we're living in a weird world, folks. And what I want to encourage you guys to do is I want you to remember this. This is a spiritual battle, okay? We can ignore that all we want to, but I want to remind you that a house divided can't stand, okay? Anything with two heads is a monster. Anything with division, two visions, that's division. And we're divided as a country right now. We literally cannot remain as a republic. We cannot remain as a nation with this kind of division. So we need to find a way to come back together, which I think actually is philosophically impossible at this stage in the game, especially when you look at what I said earlier and the way they shut us down for 4 years. And the way they came at us, and remember, they came out and they said people like us should die. We should be refused medical treatment if we didn't go along with their, you know, medical protocols, and we refused those things. Remember those comments out there that we should be ostracized from society? We should just die already. We should not have a platform. We should not be allowed to exist anymore. And then they came out, that lady came out and wrote that article in The Atlantic that said we want amnesty because we were wrong on so many things. We overreacted on the way we treated you guys. Well, no, you get no amnesty. You get no amnesty. So I don't know how we're going to come back together when there are literally people on the other side who want you to die. Now, if you don't believe me, let me, you know, I got a website out there. It's called watchchad.com. It's where all the fun stuff is. Here's a submission that came in late last night from Alex. I won't even say his last name. The subject of the message is yourself. The message was quite simple. It was six words and two commas. Do it, you ugly old bitch. So I love these people so much. And I'm trying to figure out how this house of cards is going to keep on standing with this much division out there. And so, I'm amazed at the hate that comes out from both sides, but I look at the stuff in my inbox and I'm like, yeah, I don't think we're coming together anytime soon. So, you know, we're at a point where you better realize that evil is being paraded around as good. You already know this, but what are you going to do about it? You know, we can pray. We should pray. We should ask for God's mercy. You know, we have people in leadership. I should say that in quotations. We have people that are in office who don't represent the people. They represent their own special interests. They represent their own pocketbooks. They want to make sure that you and I keep on fighting with each other. And, you know, where are we going to head? Where are we going to go at this stage in the game with our country in shambles the way that it is? I made a video on Sunday, went viral on Twitter, and got a lot of attention, where I pointed this out. I said, you know, listen, there's no doubt that we have an open border. No question about it. The number one issue in this country amongst voters is the open border. Joe Biden, in a recent poll, has a 65% to 68% disapproval rating in every major topic on the voters' minds, every single one. His worst one is on the border because they're gaslighting you when it comes to the border. He goes down to Brownsville last week while Trump goes to Eagle Pass. Trump is literally in a hot zone. Joe is in a cold zone. I don't know if he thought that there was going to be ice cream there, but the Border Patrol Union comes out and says, listen, Joe, keep our names out of your mouth. People say, why are you guys so angry with the president? Well, he's ignored them for the last 3 years that he's been in office. He said that they're whipping migrants from the backs of horses. He's not a fan favorite down there on the border. So he goes down there and basically grabs the microphone and says, Trump's bad. It's all Trump's fault. I'm here to support you guys. And then as the Border Patrol Union kind of owned him over the weekend, they said, you know, this guy wakes up, says a couple of things, puts a lid on the day, and then goes on vacation, goes to the beach, is what they said, and he takes a nap. Joe Biden does not have an approval rating, you know, above 35% almost on any issue out there. And so the border's open. We don't know how many millions of illegals are in this country. And I truly believe that if you could visit with these people who have come to this country, I truly believe in my heart that the majority of them are here with a good intention. I think they wanted a better life. They want the American dream. But that could change. So you can have the best intentions in the world and being somewhere. But if those conditions change and suddenly the dream you chased, you know, the life savings you spent with the cartels to get brought here, those conditions change and you get hungry and you start doing without and you need to provide for your family. Well, you know, desperate times call for desperate measures, and there's no telling what someone could do here, especially if they're not, their first thought, first instinct is not to listen to or adhere to the American rule of law. So the point in the video that I made was, let's say in 6 months, the federal funding that is utilized to take care of the illegals that are here in this country, suddenly it dries up. It's gone away. Or an administration comes along and says, yeah, we're not doing that anymore. You're going to have a problem. Now, there were a lot of people in response to that video who had some choice names for me. They said, why don't you just admit that you don't like brown people? Those of you who know me, that's ludicrous because I'm presenting you with facts. For instance, someone commented and they said, listen, California has a lot of migrants here. We're doing just fine. The economy is good. They contribute to the economy. They get jobs. They pay their taxes, et cetera. And I said, is that why San Diego County is broke and they're doing mass releases where illegals from all over the world are getting off the buses? You know, not long ago, I think they had an influx of 42,000 migrants in San Diego County. Just last week, I want to say there was like 1,500. You can check me on that. I'm not sure the exact number, but there were a lot that were just mass released. They opened up the door to the bus and they got out, grabbed their bags and left. Nobody knows where they are. because San Diego is broke. All of their migrant funding has run out. And the person said, you're an idiot. You don't know what you're talking about. You're just, you know, talking out of your ass. And so I posted a San Diego Fox News story that said the exact same thing that I had been saying. And they said, oh, yeah, Fox News says. Well, I posted the same thing from NBC, the same thing from the Wall Street Journal, the same thing from USA Today, the same thing from several nonprofits in California who were saying the exact same thing. The migrant funding in San Diego County is gone. And so now you have literally thousands of illegals who are there in San Diego. You can't hold California up as a paragon or example of how this needs to be handled. The money runs out. That's the problem with socialism. You always run out of somebody else's money. So here we are. Millions upon millions are in this country. Every state in the union is now a border state. What happens when those fundings get cut off? Somebody else said there's no federal funding going to illegals. Well, I sent them an article about Eric Adams and how he is defending and promoting giving these, you know, $53 million worth of debit cards to illegals that are in his city. That's taxpayer money. We've talked about this over and over again on the show. Any benefit that they have, you know, the kid shows up at his recreation fields and there's a building there and he's there to play baseball or practice baseball or whatever. And he can't go in because it's now a housing facility for illegals. That's being paid for by taxpayer funds. That's exactly what that is. I've read to you on the audio only podcast testimony of people who worked down on the border who, you know, were signing people up for Medicare. They were giving them plane tickets. They were giving them $600 a month. And now you need to pay attention to what Larry Alex Talton is talking about on his X feed as well as on his podcast, because he's been down in Colombia for the last week and he's actually finding where there are, those programs. Ben Berkman has exposed the same thing. There's programs where the Biden administration isn't just letting them cross the southern border. They're literally flying them into the interior of the country from places like Colombia. Go to Larry's feed. Go to Larry Taunton on X. Go over there and look. There are Facebook pages that are promoting illegals coming to America. There are job postings from restaurants in New Jersey saying, if you're young, you're attractive, you're female, we would love to hire you to come be a waitress at our restaurant. You know, I don't know if you understand, that's trafficking. And that ain't a restaurant. They're looking for people they can sell into prostitution. And that's on Facebook. These are posts that are on Facebook. Go check him out at Larry Taunton on X. Go check it out. You'll see the posts that are there. Pay attention to his program. Ideas Have Consequences. It's a fantastic podcast. And he will disciple your mind. He will educate you. We're going to have him on the show next week. We're going to talk about his trip to Colombia. He's going to give you the bullet points of what he saw down there. What you think is happening. What do I always say? My motto in life, the issue is never the issue. They've got you looking at the southern border. That's what we think the issue is. The issue is far bigger than that. The issue is far bigger than anything that's coming across the razor wire in South Texas. They're literally flying people in here. I don't know if it's true or not. I came across a video. Many of you probably have seen it where there was a hot mic moment where Joe Biden allegedly said to keep sending these men of military age to the U.S. And if Texas gets in the way, he'll send the F-15s and we'll deal with Texas. Go look that up. There was a little hot mic moment. Could be a fake video. I don't know. But nothing surprises me anymore at this point. It's kind of scary when you think about it. We're standing literally alone. Our federal government, I don't know if you saw it last week, they got a new term. It's not migrants. It's not immigrants. The Biden administration is now referring to these illegals as newcomers. Newcomers. Now, they'll call you, the mom at the PTA, they'll call you a domestic terrorist. They'll refer to you as an insurrectionist. They'll call you extreme MAGA Republican. They will call you, the greatest threat to democracy. You're a citizen of the United States. They'll put journalists in prison garb and put them in ankle chains and wrist chains and trot them out before a court over a January 6th accusation that's 3.5 years old with no substance behind it. But they'll call these illegals who are coming across the border newcomers. If you listen to what they're saying, folks, this is evil. And it's a spiritual battle. You've heard me say this over and over again. If you can take the person that you don't like, if you can label them and that label will stick, you can classify them. If you classify them, you can categorize them and put them off in, you know, on the shelf so that when you're ready to deal with them, you bring them off, you use that label. Look at the progression of labels they've used over the last years. It used to be a horrible thing to be called a racist. Now everybody's a freaking racist. The English language is a racist, encyclopedias are racist. Education is racist. It's all racist. But yet Joe Biden can sit down in a publicity promotion video with a black man and his two sons and eat fried chicken. Can you imagine if Donald Trump did a PR video sitting down with a black family eating fried chicken? The media would have an absolute frenzy over that. And that video has largely disappeared. It was just out 2 weeks ago. Just 2 weeks ago. And nobody said anything about that. They would lose their mind if Donald Trump sat down and ate fried chicken. And you know how I know that? They did that. They did that on, the Hispanic Appreciation Day or whatever it was when Donald Trump, the picture, he was sitting at his desk there in Trump Tower and he was eating the taco bowl. And he said, Trump Tower has the best taco salads in the world. And, you know, God bless Mexicans. They lost their freaking mind over that stuff. They're still talking about it. I mean, a man sits down on Air Force One and is eating a Big Mac with a fork and a knife and they're going crazy. The guy picks up a glass of water and holds it with two hands. Yeah, it was a little weird. You know, what he said was he didn't want to get water dripping on his silk tie. Okay. But they're going to make fun of that. They're going to go after Joe Biden's having fried chicken with a black family. Shit. We're living in a clown world. We're living in an absolute clown world. But listen, they want to classify you as a racist. Everything is racist, except for the racists. I mean, remember what the mayor of, where was it the other day? Richmond, Virginia, who said, we're not going to turn out for Donald Trump. We're not here for his bigoted and sexist and racist ideologies. We're going to put Joe Biden back in office. Yeah, that mayor is black. And don't forget, buddy, that Joe Biden said, if you don't vote for him, you ain't black.
I tell you, if you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, and you ain't black.
It don't have nothing to do with Trump.
So, and I'll go back to, you know, the phrase that Joe used back when he was a senator. He says, I've got the solution for the Negro. But no, you're the racist. You conservatives out there, you're the racist. And even if you're black, you're still, you know, a white supremacist. So that's how stupid they are. So now they've moved all the way over to calling you Nazis. And now you're a neo-Nazi because Nazi wasn't strong enough. They had to qualify the Nazi. You're one of those neo-Nazis. Everybody out there. And what's disgusting is there's Republican candidates running for the state house here in Texas who are calling their opponents neo-Nazis. Absolutely asinine, stupid logic behind that. And I promise you, that's what I mean when I say that house of cards is not going to stand. It's tragic when you think about the consequences of loosely using rhetoric like that. Okay. Yeah, and of course, the journalist I was referring to earlier is my friend with the Blaze, Steve Baker, who there's so much about January 6th that you wouldn't know that Steve revealed. The hoax of the pipe bomb, he revealed all of that stuff. And the way he did it is because he was a journalist who had access to the 40,000 hours of security footage from the cameras from J6. He was able to go down and, you know, go in and sit for 3 hours at a time and analyze, you know, the footage. He exposed that. He exposed the fact that Kamala Harris was not in the Capitol that day. She was at the DNC headquarters, but yet she talked like she was in the Capitol. She made posts about the horrific events, the tragic events, like she was there. He exposed all of that. The fact that, you know, Sicknick was not killed by protesters. He died a day later. He showed video of Sicknick walking around the rotunda of the Capitol after his supposed attack. The head of security for, what was it, Nancy Pelosi, who said he was in one place. He perjured himself. He was in a completely other place in the Capitol when he said that. And then the whole, you know, they were calling me the N-word thing. It never happened. He exposed the audio on that. So there's so many things about January 6th that was debunked because of the fair and honest reporting of Steve Baker. But the DOJ has their narrative. The DOJ doesn't want to be exposed, and anybody that doesn't push the narrative, anybody that bucks the system, well, they've just become an enemy of the state. And that's what they did with Steve Baker. Steve is honest. He's humble. He's a great guy. Every journalist should aspire to be a Steve Baker. They really should. And he got too close to the truth. And so they made him 3 years later, they made him come in, report. They told him to come in shorts and sandals. When he got there, they put him in the ankle chains. They shackled him, marched him out. It was a photo op. And over nothing but misdemeanors. The only accusation, they're not felonies, they're misdemeanors. So that's the kind of world we're headed towards, folks. That's the kind of world they want you to exist in, where you have political enemies. Science can be interpreted, however. Medicine can be administered ad hoc. The judiciary can be used against you for warfare and blackmail. And they can just recreate a whole narrative about who you are. And no one sits back and asks any questions. You are another victim of the state. Boy, this is an encouraging word, isn't it? All right, guys, I'm going to jump off of here. I'm going to get out. It's starting to get sweaty in this room anyway. So I've already said enough stuff to get us banned off of YouTube and TikTok and every damn other platform that's out there. I want you to go to watchchad.com for all the fun stuff is. I got some cool shows that are coming up. I promise you they're more fun than the stuff I just talked about. Promise. Going to be with Zach Rushing in Illinois, Indiana, and in Iowa in the next week. And then I'm going to be back in Granbury, Texas, and then going to be at the Hippodrome, Waco, Texas. One more time. I think that's my 7th show at the Hippodrome. So get your tickets now. You get everything at watchchad.com. Tons more stuff coming up. And drop us a line, chad@thechadprathershow.com. Don't forget, go visit our sponsors. They make this show possible, and we love them. So we love you as well, and we thank you for all of the stuff that you do to support us. Don't forget, leave a 5-star rating and review where podcasts are offered. We need it. We want it. Let's climb the ranks. Let's overtake Sarah Gonzalez. I'm just kidding. That'll never happen. All right. Take care of yourselves, and we will talk to you next time. Love you. God bless you. Bye.